send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and country round about and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. But he said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said, we have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all this people. For they were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, make them sit down by 50s in a company. And they did so and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and brake and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat and were all filled, and there was taken up of the fragments that remained to them 12 baskets. I know you're familiar with this passage and this story, this miracle, and usually when we read this and talk about it, we talk about the miracle and the power of Jesus to multiply the food. Bible scholars say that this proved Jesus' power over nature because he could multiply the food. Sometimes we talk about the 12 baskets that were left over, and if there's any significance to the fact that there were 12 baskets and 12 disciples and all that sort of thing. Occasionally we'll mention the little boy that had the lunch and whether or not he really wanted to give it up to the disciples. But as I read this miracle this week, this passage this week, I was kind of struck by the 12 disciples, the 12 apostles, and I got to wondering what they thought when this was happening. And so I think I can imagine 3 conversations that might have taken place. One of them I'm sure took place among the 12 apostles. And I want to talk about that this morning. I'm going to tell you, you can tell I'm having a little, I'm not sure the word is trouble this morning, but I didn't have any idea when I made this message how meaningful it would be to me. So you pray with me and bear with me this morning. I want to set the scene. First of all, the Bible tells us that Jesus and the 12 were out in a desert place. And that means a deserted place. They had been active in ministry, and they were tired physically. Listen, Jesus got tired. The disciples got tired. All God's people get tired, right? And so they were out away. They tried to get away from the crowds, to get away from the people. They wanted to rest. They wanted to sort of rejuvenate a little bit and just relax. But the crowds found out where Jesus was. And so they followed him. They came to him. The Bible says 5,000 men plus the women and children. So easily the number was, 15, maybe 20,000 people, maybe more than that. Who knows? But there was a great multitude of people that came out to where they were. And Jesus ministered to them. The Bible says that he healed them and met their needs. And then it came toward the end of the day, and the 12 came to Jesus, and they suggested to Jesus strongly that he send the multitude away. They said, listen, it's time to eat, and we don't have any food, and certainly not enough new food to feed this group of people, this multitude of people. So you need to send them home or back to the villages, the surrounding villages, where they can take care of themselves and get their own food, do whatever it is they need to do. And that's when things got really interesting, at least I think really interesting. I want you to look at verse 13. The Bible says, but he, Jesus, said unto them, the 12, give ye them to eat. That brings us to conversation number one. I think conversation number one probably went something like this. We can't do it. I think I can prove that. Look at verse 13 again. And their response, Jesus said, give ye them to eat. And they said, we have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all this people. If you read the other 3 Gospels, you sort of get the sense of what happened. The disciples, they had no food. I'm not even sure they had food for themselves. It doesn't seem like they did. Andrew discovered that there was a little boy there that had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And I'll tell you the truth. I really think the reason he discovered that little guy is because they didn't have any food. And I'm not sure that Andrew wasn't hoping that him and this little boy could sneak off someplace and sort of share what he had so Andrew would have something to eat. So when they looked out on this multitude of people, you know, whatever it was, 5,000 men plus, and Jesus said, give you them to eat. The first thing that came to their mind was the first thing that comes to our mind, usually when God tells us to do something, and that was, we can't do it. One of the other gospel writers mentions, a couple of them mentioned 200 penny worth of bread, money. 200 denarii is what that was. That was about 8 days' wages. I'm not sure why he mentioned that amount of money, because they didn't have that much money. But I think maybe they were trying to impress upon Jesus the impossibility of what he was commanding them to do. We don't have any food. Even if we had 200 denarii, we could go buy food. That still wouldn't be enough to feed the multitude. And oh, by the way, we would have to go to some village and buy the food. And who knows whether or not the village has enough food to feed this multitude. Probably they don't. They fed themselves daily. They didn't have storehouses for the most part of food. So they said, even if we had the money, which we don't, we'd have to go to a village and buy the food, which they probably wouldn't have. But if they had it, then we'd have to figure out some way to carry all that food back. Just poor little old 12 guys. Who knows how long it would take, and who knows whether or not that multitude of people would even wait that long for us to go buy them food and bring it back and feed them. Jesus, we just can't do it. And I'm going to tell you, if I had been there that day and I'd been one of the 12, I'd have been right there with them. We just can't do it. I can almost imagine a little sidebar among the 12 disciples. That conversation took place between the 12 and Jesus. They told him, we've only got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. We don't have this money, but even if we did, it wouldn't be enough. They told him, we can't do it. But I think they got off on a little sidebar among themselves and they said, can you believe what he wants us to do? He is unreasonable. He is asking us, he is commanding us to do the impossible. I can't believe he would ask us to do that. Have you ever done that? Maybe not those words. Maybe you didn't call up your Christian friend and have that conversation, but maybe in your mind Jesus gives you some sort of a command. He wants a job. He has a job for you to do something. Maybe it's hard. Maybe to you it seems impossible. And you say, first of all, you say, oh, I can't do that. And then in your mind you think, I can't believe he would ask me that. The nerve. Who does he think I am? Who does he think he is? That he would command me to do something that's impossible. We know all the scriptures, don't we? Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. We know that verse. Luke 1:37, we've probably got this verse memorized. For with God nothing shall be impossible. We're familiar with Luke 18:27, and he said, Jesus said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. But we think that all of those verses apply to somebody else, not me. That means the pastor can do it. That means the pastor should do it. That means the Sunday school teacher can and should do it. That means that that person that's been a Christian longer than I've been a Christian. If I've been a Christian for 15 years, that's for somebody who's been a Christian 20 years. Somebody else can, because nothing is impossible with God. Somebody else should, because nothing is impossible with God, but I can't. This coming week, I'm going to do something, hopefully by the power of God, that I don't think I can do. Honestly, I don't think I can do it. But whatever God commands us to do, God enables us to do. I wrote that in my notes. And I read that this morning. And when I read that, I have to tell you, I was just a little bit convicted and a little bit comforted. Whatever God commands us to do, Christian, He enables us to do. And this miracle is proof of that. And that brings us to conversation number two. After hearing their protest, after hearing all of their reasons for not being able to perform this command of Jesus, He gave them another command, verse 14. And He said to His disciples, make them sit down by fifties in a company. That was a command just as much as give ye them to eat. I think when the disciples heard that command, I really think they were relieved because they could do that. Maybe they thought Jesus was going to sit them down in these small groups of 50 people and He was go to each group individually and He was going to explain to them how that they didn't have food, they weren't prepared for this multitude to come out there, and so everybody was just going to have to kind of go home and take care of themselves. Oh boy, the pressure's off. Maybe they thought Jesus was going to set them down in these groups of 50 and He was going to ask them if they had any food that the disciples didn't know about, and if they did, would they be willing to share? Oh boy, the pressure's off. Somebody else, you feel that way? Somebody else is going to do it. God commanded me to do it. God told me to do it, but I know I can't, and somebody else is going to do it. Woo! Man, it feels good. Maybe they thought Jesus was going to brainstorm with these small groups. That's what we do now, right? We get in small groups and we brainstorm. And they were going to figure out how to solve this problem. But the disciples didn't have to do it. All the disciples had to do was group them up in groups of 50 and make them sit down. They said, oh, listen, we can do that. I'll get right on that, Jesus. I can do that. Thank you so much for letting me off the hook. I appreciate it. That little old thing there, well, anybody can do that. Well, I'm anybody. I can do that. The truth is, boy, this is going to get uncomfortable. The truth is, God has commanded us as His children to do a lot of things that are not impossible. They don't require great talent. They don't require great skill. They don't require education or training or experience. All they require is willingness to obey. We can come to church. Now listen, I know in somebody's mind, if anybody's going to listen to this on the internet and they're not here this morning, the first thing, oh, now, Pastor, I can't come. I can't come. Everybody else may be able to, but I can't. Right? That applies for everybody else, but not me. I can't come because, you know, I woke up this morning and, man, my toe was hurting me so bad. Why, it was all I could do to get dressed and run to Walmart real quick. God said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, especially as you see the day approaching. He commanded us to come to church. And I want to tell you, it takes no special skill to come to church. Well, you know, I'm mad at old so-and-so. You know, last week I came. I was there last week, Pastor. Did you see me? I was there. And old brother so-and-so, he didn't shake my hand. He walked right by me. When everybody shakes hands, you know, after that first song, well, old brother so-and-so walked right by me and didn't shake my hand. So I'm mad at him. I'm staying home today. Could I ask you a question? As long as I'm in trouble, I'm going to get deep, okay? If you get mad at somebody at work, do you quit going to work? Well, of course not, Pastor. I need the paycheck, right? If you get mad at school, do you quit going to school? If you get mad at your spouse, do you just quit going home? If you get mad at your kids, do you kick them out of the house? We get mad at somebody at church and we quit going to church. And God said, go. Not occasionally, not every now and then, not on Christmas and Easter. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together every single Sunday. We can come to church. We don't because we don't want to. I understand sometimes people get sick. I got that. Please, if you have a fever, if you're running a fever or throwing up or all any kind of bodily functions, stay home. But most of the time, honestly, folks, now I know you're here and you're probably thinking you need to be telling this to the people who aren't here, right? Most of the time we don't come to church because we don't want to come to church. Well, we can think of a million excuses. Listen, the 12 apostles didn't feed the multitude. They said they couldn't feed the multitude because they didn't want to feed the multitude. It's going to be too much work. We can't. No, they could. They just didn't want to. I better move on. We can pray. It doesn't take any special skill to pray. Did you know you don't even have to speak to pray? All you got to do is think. All you got to do is think the words. If your brain functions, you can pray. We can talk to others about Jesus. I know we say we can't, but we can. We talk to them about everything else under the sun, don't we? We could talk to them about Jesus if we wanted to, but we really don't want to. We can make a joyful noise to the Lord. In my notes, I wrote, we can sing. But I knew somebody would say, oh, Pastor, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. Well, yes, you can. Somebody can put that tune in there and you can carry it up to the Lord. We can make a joyful noise to the Lord. Praise is joyful to the ears of God. It doesn't make any difference if it's on tune or out of tune, if it's in time or out of time. It doesn't matter if it's monotone. If it's praise, it's a joyful sound to the Lord. We can make a joyful noise to the Lord. We can be faithful. We can obey God, because what He commands us to do, He enables us to do. We can use our talents for the work of the Lord. We can be involved in the kingdom of God. We aren't because we don't want to. We've all been a part. I've been a part of the I can't do it conversation. I hope that you are a part or will be a part, and I hope that I will be a part of the we can do that conversation. Because that conversation leads to conversation number 3. I mentioned earlier several times, and you've heard me say it many times as your pastor, that whatever God commands us to do, He enables us to do. I believe that with all my heart. I'm telling you what, I can't do this. I'm sure you know that by now. Jesus had commanded the 12 to feed the multitude, so He enabled them to do it. I want you to look at verse 16. Please look in your Bible. If you don't have your Bible, read the screen. But I want you to look at this verse. Then He, Jesus, took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, He blessed them and brake, and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. After the disciples obeyed Jesus and made everybody break up into small groups of 50 and sit down, after they obeyed Him, then He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, which was not enough. There's not a person in the world who would say that's enough to feed 5,000 or 15 or 20,000 people. But He took that food, He blessed it, and when He blessed it, He multiplied it. And then I want you to notice what Jesus did. He gave it, not to the multitude, to the 12. Did you ever wonder why He did that? Oh, I know somebody said, well, for food distribution purposes. No. He gave it to the 12 because He told the 12 to feed the multitude. So He enabled them to do what He had commanded them to do. He provided what was necessary for them to do what He told them to do. All they had to do was obey. That brings us to conversation number 3. You know what those 12 guys did after that was all over with? Did you see what we did? Hey, Jesus. We fed 5,000 men, plus their women and children. Must have been 45, 50,000 people here. We fed them. We did it. We did it. Wouldn't you like to be a part of that conversation? Honestly, Christian, wouldn't you like to be a part of that conversation? Wouldn't you like to be the one that doesn't just hear about a miracle? Wouldn't you like to be the one that doesn't just see a miracle? Wouldn't you like to be the one that participates in a miracle? Wouldn't you like to be the one, after it's all said and done, to stick your chest out and say, man, did you see what I did? It's okay. We did it. In this case, it was them and Jesus. But they obeyed. And because they obeyed, they were part of a miracle. Listen, they fed 5,000 men with 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fishes. They did it. I know Jesus multiplied the food, but they obeyed Jesus, and from His hand to their hand to the multitude's hand, it was done. What God commanded them to do, He enabled them to do. Christian, you can be a part of that conversation. All we have to do is obey. Would you stand with me this morning? Sherry, would you come, please, and play a song of invitation? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads.